Sports Radio 730 The Ump and 103.9 FM. From the Tennessee Valley Sports Authority, Sports Radio 730 The Ump presents The Griff Show with Scott Griffin. Call now 1-866-485-WUMP. That's 1-866-485-9867. Now kicking your afternoon drive into high gear. Here's Griff.
Welcome back to the Griff Show. We're glad you're with us here on a sunny Thursday. Breezy, too, isn't it? Wow. Amazing out there. Feels pretty good, though. Spring fever setting in here at the Ump and the Griff Show. No question about it. Scott Griffin here. Good loaded show for you. We'll have a live report from Daytona from Bill Lumpkin. He's down there covering the Gatorade Duels, as it were. Andrew Bone on recruiting. Auburn's entertaining a big-time player coming up this weekend. Alabama also in the fold for a couple and got a couple of commitments. Of course, one being Grant Hill from Huntsville High School as well. Joe Dean on this program at 5:05, talking SEC basketball, Bama, Auburn, Kentucky. They're rolling on. How impactful was Mississippi State's loss to Kentucky on what they're trying to do and all the above? So, 866-485-WUMP, as always, the number to get in on the show, broadcasting from the First Family Mortgage Studios here in Athens, Alabama. Remember, you can go to the website, 730UMP.com. Check us out. We've got the cameras up. We've got all the podcasts, every widget you can imagine on every team you care about. Trivia questions and much, much more. Get interactive with us on the website as well as on Twitter at The Griff Show, at On The Marks Radio, and at 730UMP.com. So, got all that. And Facebook, 730TheUMP. Type it in. Go there, like us. We got all kind of stuff going on there. A lot of things going on in the world of sports, high school basketball. Still hanging out. Bama, Arkansas tonight. Game time, is that right? 6? So we are go off the air at 5:30, huh? 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock tip, looks like. I think that's correct. And it's I think we're at 5:30 today. Yep. All righty. Yeah, well, I mean, the information I'm reading now is 5:30, so we will double-check that and get that to you as well. 866-485-WUMP, 866-485-9867. Bama, Arkansas, big one tonight for the Tide. Without your man, Jamichael Green, not playing. Practicing, not playing. So, obviously, that hurts Alabama. But in a strange way, as we talked about, could this possibly be a deal where this might help Alabama from the standpoint against the Arkansas pressure that they'll have more ball handlers in the game? Is what I'm thinking, maybe, if they come through. They lose some size. Certainly lose some rebounding. But do they gain some ball handling? I think so. So it's going to be interesting to see how that breaks down, if the negative of Jamichael Green's presence not being there might turn into a, you know, a positive there. Anyway, 866-485-9867, Bama, Arkansas tonight. Then Auburn has him on Saturday as well. Combine going on in the NFL. Colts can sign Andrew Luck as early as Friday. That's when negotiations can begin. But it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. And I guess the Colts aren't going to wait for pro days for whomever. But they can sign the number one pick, whoever it is, as of Friday. And I think we all know that Indianapolis is pretty much wiping their hands of Peyton Manning. Their owner's done it. He's the main cog. But they are wiping their hands of Peyton Manning. So after Friday, a pair of coin flip locks the draft order, and then the Colts can ink Luck, if they want, to a contract. Now, that's happened before. I remember Larry Bird with the NBA. This was back when Red Auerbach was really astute at the draft things. He drafted Larry Bird. And this was brilliant. I don't know why it made me think of the story. He drafted Larry Bird before Bird was going to go pro, knowing he wasn't going to go pro. But back then, you could draft a guy. He waited on him through his senior year, then signed him because he owned the draft rights to him before the next draft. How brilliant is that? So he drafted him a year early and then signed him before the next draft. Pretty smart. Pretty smart, that Auerbach cat. I guess that's why he won a bunch of titles. But anyway, that just remembered that story from old basketball days. 866-485-9867 to get in on the show. Baseball news, Jose Reyes bringing a little buzz to the Marlins camp as he shows up today. All the stars starting to roll in now. Pitchers and catchers, of course, were last weekend first of the week. But now he's coming in. And looks pretty good. You got Hanley Ramirez at third base for the Marlins. Reyes, of course, the shortstop. Look out for the Miami Marlins. Ozzie Guillen, the manager. It's going to be something to look at there as Reyes tries to live up to the $106 million contract that he got from the Marlins in the offseason. Four-time All-Star in his 9 years with the New York Mets. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens on that. All right. We've got Bill Lumpkin coming up in just a few minutes. A live report from Daytona. The Gatorade Duels. Dos. Is that right? Is that Spanish for duels? I'm looking at you like you're an expert on Spanish. Ladies and gentlemen, the lovely, talented Jason Marks. Did you really? You failed it. You're not joking. Well, you probably passed it eventually. Correct? You failed it? What's one word you remember? What does that mean? Gatorade. That's what you said when you got an F. Did you say that when you got an F in the class?
Pretty much.
Jeez. Failed it, huh?
Nah, I really wasn't one of those students that really paid attention
in high school. I was a late
bloomer. In any event. Yeah, again, because my audio was out of tune. Adios mio was the only Spanish phrase that I remembered, and I probably said it when I failed Spanish.
Audio what?
Adios mio. Adios mio.
I got you. I hear you. I feel you. Hey, big NBA game this weekend. Heat and your boy Jeremy Lin.
I'm torn with this game. I'm torn on
Why?
Who to cheer for.
Who to cheer for?
Yeah. Because I like the Jeremy Lin story, and I'm kind of on LeBron's side for all the flack that he got for going to Miami.
Well, he only got flack because of the way he did it, I think. If he had handled that better, he would.
Well, he could have handled it better, but then again,
he would not have gotten the flack he's
getting. If I was 6'8" and could, you know, jump 10 feet in the air, you know, I'd pretty much do whatever I wanted to.
Yeah, but that don't give you a right to say To act like that way to your hometown fans, you wouldn't do that to Athens, Alabama.
I don't know if the money was good enough. Yeah, I kid.
Money can't buy you love. Tony, not from fans. Tony Stewart won the first qualifying race for the Daytona 500. Defending champ held off Dale Earnhardt Jr. is running good. I got a feeling Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to have the big year this year. That's the first 150-mile race today. We've got a live report coming up in about 7 minutes from now. Last lap of that earlier one marred by an accident involving your girl, Danica, Jason. She's probably texting you and wrecked at the Gatorade duels. What did she text you?
Come clean. Or tweeting me, because everybody seems to be arguing with me today on Twitter.
Come clean. What did she text you?
No, she has not sent me a text yet.
Patrick,
I'm pretty sure, though, it's going to come because I seem to have pissed everybody off in the world today.
Patrick was hit by Eric Almirola, and the contact sent her car across the track into a retaining wall on the inside, lifted the Chevy off its wheels, but she got out of the car all right. First little trouble there for Danica. Michael McDowell, Robbie Gordon, the drivers who raced their way to Sunday's season-opening Daytona 500 by this Gatorade duel, the first one. Michael Waltrip, two-time winner, wrecked as he tried to return to the track after a pit stop. He's eliminated from the Daytona 500 Sunday. He's a two-time winner, Michael Waltrip. We'll get a live report, like I said, 6 minutes from now. Again, here on the Griff Show. It's hard for me to find stuff going on in Indianapolis. Have you gotten any info from there? Are they guarding this thing like crazy or what? Usually, this stuff used to be so available. What is the deal?
Well, I think it's going to ramp up a little bit more as the draft comes along. I mean,
yeah, but the combine's going on, you know? That's what I was thinking. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but...
Maybe they want to see a fat defensive lineman without a shirt off. I don't know.
Oh, man. Do you remember Andre Smith?
Yeah, Terrence Cody.
I threw up a little in my mouth when I saw that.
That would be
Cody was, you could argue Cody looked better with his shirt off than Andre Smith. Who would be the least offensive at the beach if they took the shirt off? Cody definitely would be now. Andre still got just layers of fat. Yeah. Trent Richardson, by the way, this announced, Alabama's Pro Day is the 7th, if I remember, of March. Auburn's is March 6th. Trent Richardson is working out for pro teams on his own March 27th. He's had a little minor knee surgery. It's the first I've heard about it. Have you heard about that? I haven't heard he had a little minor procedure. He will not participate in on-field drills at the combine. Richardson, who suffered the injury during preparations for the BCS championship game, and didn't he go over 100 with a minor knee problem, will be ready for Alabama's Pro Day, but he wants to do March 27th. I don't blame him. I'm not sure he even has to do that. This guy is such a no-brainer. You know what I mean? He's such a no-brainer. I don't think it matters. In any event, 866-485-9867 to get in on the Griff Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Our man Bill Lumpkin hanging out with us. Live report from Daytona. We'll have that and more when the Griff Show continues on a gorgeous, sunny, windy. It's the Windy City here. It's San Fran. Right here on the Griff Show in the UM. We'll be back.
The Griff Show.
Welcome to the Griff Show. We're glad you're with us here on the program. And coming up later on, Joe Dean talking some SEC basketball. Also, Andrew Bone on recruiting as well. And we got a lot of stuff. The Ray Perkins interview on podcast, 730yump.com. Go to the media tab, hit podcast, see all the shows we have here on the Ump as well. Also, check out the website with all the video and widgets. It's absolutely fantastic. Now, though, let's head to Daytona. I can't imagine the weather being better there than it is here, but it might be. Our good friend Bill Lumpkin joins us from Daytona. Bill, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Scott. It is pretty good. It's about 82 right now, so that's pretty good weather.
Wow, that's fantastic. It's windy here. Is it windy down there? Is that playing a factor?
No, it's not a whole lot of wind. Some threats last night and some threats of rain today, but it's a beautiful day.
That's awesome. Now, tell us, I know the first one is over, and I know Michael Waltrip had some trouble, and he's not even going to race Sunday. He's a two-time winner.
Well, he had to stop for gas. He was in line to run. He had to stop for gas, and then he tried to hurry back to get on the track and went right into the wall.
Wow. And then Danica Patrick did as well, right? What happened on her deal?
She was coming into the last lap. She walked away, but it was a shock.
Yeah, and you're breaking up a little bit. Try that again, because we heard the very end of it. What happened? I know she was hit by Almirola, but what happened again?
Well, she was down low, and so she went through the infield and hit the safety barrier. And she took a big shot. She walked away from it. She got a torn-up race car.
Oh, wow. And was that her main race car?
Yeah, that'll be her main race car. But, you know, they all got backups, especially with our racing for Stewart. And Stewart won the race, so I guess maybe he broke even.
Yeah. I guess. His car always looks strong at Daytona. He's one of those guys that he just seems to be magical down there, doesn't he?
Yeah, but, you know, he's never won the 500. They were talking about that's his 17th career win. He passed Bobby Allison, but he's one that's never won the 500.
But he's always raced good, though, hasn't he? There,
yeah, he's always
he just never wins it.
Yeah, and Junior finished second to him, and, you know, it was coming down to it was going to be close, but as soon as they had that wreck, you know, it went final. They didn't get to race to the flag, so it might have been interesting between him and Junior if they hadn't had the big wreck on the last lap.
So, what are you seeing with this new 4 and 5? Wide stuff that Larry McReynolds was telling us about this week instead of the rows of two.
Yeah, I think it's much better. I know from the shootout the other night, it was much more exciting. And if that's the way the 500 is, I think it'll be a much more exciting race than it's been the last few years.
Does it take drafting out of it, Bill, that you saw? I know 150 is not 500 miles, but it's long enough where you do have to settle in a groove for a while.
Yeah, you do, but still you have some two-car drafting, and I think it'll come down to that at the end of who, you know, you can't draft very long or it'll overheat your car. But I think, you know, when it comes to the end, you'll see some, over the last one or two laps, some two cars that, you know, hook up together.
And didn't they raise the grill or something? No, they changed the PSIs this week, didn't they? They talked about raising the grill a little bit or opening it up or something.
Yeah, if you get too close, you know, you'll overheat the car too if you get on somebody's bumper for too long.
What is the latest on Johnson's C-panel or whatever they call that deal on the back of his car?
I don't think they'll do anything else till after the racing. They might. He's running fourth in the duel. It's 25 laps in right now.
Who's winning that one right now? I forgot that one's going on, too. I didn't know it had started so quickly.
Yeah, Bissell's leading, and Kyle Busch is second. Logano's third, and Johnson's fourth. And 25 laps in.
Logano there, too. Explain to fans listening in the importance of these things. You can race your way in or out depending on what's happened so far.
Yeah, really and truly, it's not very important until about seven drivers. Everybody else is already in the race. It's just for positioning. You know, and they don't want to tear up their cars. The only two people that were locked in were Edwards and Biffle, and they're 1 and 2. But the top 35 from last year points, they're already in the race.
Yeah.
So there were about 10 people racing for, I think, 5 or 6 spots. And Walter was one of them. He didn't make it. And in this race, there's about 5 or 6 that are trying to race in on time.
That makes it kind of dangerous, though, for the ones that need to be in the race.
Yeah, the last race, you know, Trevor Bayne was one of them. He'd already made it on time, and he was in the last race. But Robbie Gordon and Michael McDowell made the race in the last one. And Robbie Gordon was already talking about trying to buy an engine from Roger Penske on Sunday to help his chances.
Hmm. What? And this is Bill Lumpkin joining us, talking a little NASCAR. He's reporting live for Daytona 500, reporting for several outlets, and we'll get to those in just a moment. Who has looked good to you in the few days you've been down there now? Just tell us your thoughts as you walk around and talking to people, gathering information.
You have to be impressed with Kyle Busch, the way he ran in the shootout, the way he saved his car. He's running second in this duel. You know, Stewart's run well, and he's coming off a championship. Carl Edwards is on the – he finished second last year with losing the tiebreaker. And then, you know, I think Junior's going to have a big year. I think he's ready. He looks like he's got a good car down here.
I do, too. I got a feeling this is his year to do something.
I do, too.
Why do we think, is it maturity thing, the talent's there, the maturity now, or what?
I think a little of each of those. I think I think last year he saw that he ran competitively most of the year. He was in the chase. He just didn't finish the deal. You know, he had to get race one at Michigan when he ran out of gas.
Yeah.
I just think that it's maturity. He knows he's got a good crew chief and a good car, and I think he's going to win some races this year.
I do, too. I've got an odd feeling. And for folks listening in, he did finish second to Tony Stewart in the first 150-mile race. After today, give fans an idea of what's going to be happening tomorrow, Saturday.
Well, tomorrow they'll have a truck race qualifying for the nationwide race on Saturday, and then the nationwide race is on Saturday. And there's one Mobile driver in the truck race, Dale, and then in the nationwide, of course, Danica's running full time, and you know several Cup drivers will run in the nationwide. Junior's running. You know the Busch brothers have teamed up to form their own team in the nationwide. They're going to split time. One's going to run half, another one's going to run half. So it should be entertaining week. This is one of the best weeks for racing.
Oh, no question. And Larry said Brandon McReynolds last weekend led about three-fourths of that race. Saturday?
It was heartbreaking. He led 64 of the 80 laps and had it won. And coming into turn four, he ran out of gas. And if he hadn't gone to a green-white checker, he would have had enough gas to race. I was telling one of the guys that worked in the new journey, Brandon went to victory lane with Larry when he was crew chief for Davey 20 years ago as a one-year-old.
Wow.
In a blanket. And Davey was his godfather.
Wow. I totally forgot about that, the timing of all that stuff.
That's good. Yeah.
All right. Well, who are you writing for? Who are you stringing for right now where people can read your stuff? Can you hear me? Hey, Bill? Wow. Bill, are you there? Hey, I think we're breaking up. Let's try one more time. Do you know who are you stringing for where people can read you? He can text me that. Bill, you're breaking up there, and I'm sure it's because of all the electronic equipment and everything else that's going on in the press box there. But that was Bill Lumpkin reporting live from Daytona. And we'll try to get who he's riding for so we can pass that along if he wants. But 25 laps into the race, he's got reports going on there. Kyle Busch, Logano up there, and some other known drivers, as you would expect, at the Daytona 500. But Tony Stewart winning the first one today. Dale Earnhardt Jr. second. Robbie Gordon among the two that got in to the Daytona 500. Michael McDowell, the other. Michael Waltrip, two-time winner, not in. And again, we're just barely into the beginning of the other Gatorade 150s going on now in Daytona. 866-485-WUMP, 866-485-9867 to get on the Griff Show. 82, so it's not much different in Daytona than it is here. So no reason, Jason, for you to run to the beach this weekend because it's not much different.
But isn't there some storms coming in here pretty soon?
Yeah. What's going on with that? What does Marty tell us?
I think some storms should be coming through tonight around 9 o'clock or so, but I think a lot of it's probably going to miss most of the viewing area. I think some portions of the area will get hit, but it looks like just be weather alert tonight because you know how these storms go. The one thing about Alabama is, you know, you complain about it once, wait one day, and then you'll have another complaint.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you can follow us on Twitter at The Griff Show, 730 Ump, on the Marks Radio, and on Facebook, 730 The Ump. You can type it in there, but also the webpage. I want to get a lot of people going to the webpage, 730ump.com. We're streaming live now with a video. Have that on every day now, Monday through Friday, then on, 6 days a week. On Saturdays, 9 to 1, with the Asylum.
Sports Asylum.
And then On the Marks.
Mm-hmm.
Radio programs. And, we got so much to talk about to remember. But anyway,
and
just
also
go there.
Go to 730ump.com and check out what we've done with the place.
We got some new digs and dibs and all kind of stuff.
And I'm also still taking donations for any kind of sports stuff that's just lying around collecting dust. If you want to donate it to the Ump Cave, you know, feel free to email me.
I'm thinking something would replace that Duke thing I'm going to try to steal when your back's turned.
No.
We've got a cool Ump sign, some footballs. We got the Predators jersey, which is the coolest logo in sports, in my opinion. Some Alabama gear back here. So it's pretty good. We need some Auburn and Tennessee stuff. We've already decided.
I'm reaching out to everybody.
Or any SEC, for that matter, but certainly those guys.
I mean, any football jerseys or anything like that, or any memorabilia from the other SEC schools, I'm reaching out to try to get some of those. And if you want to help out, jason.marks@cumulus.com.
All right. So 26 minutes till top of the hour. Coming up a little bit later on, we have Andrew Bone talking a little football recruiting. Alabama getting a couple of commitments, one right here at Huntsville High School, big 6'6", 330-pound Grant Hill. We'll talk about that, but Auburn getting a big visit this weekend. They got a punter this week as well, so we'll get into all that stuff, get you updated on recruiting. And Joe Dean on this show a little after 5 o'clock as well, talking some SEC basketball. And a huge game tonight, Bama and Arkansas again, beginning at 5:30 right here on the Ump with the pregame with Chris Stewart and Brian Passing. And then 6 o'clock, you've got the pregame tip-off right here. So that'll be good stuff there on the show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with some more fun and frivolity here. We got stuff to give away, too, maybe a little bit later on. We've got to figure out a way to do it here on the Griff Show. Thanks for listening to The Griff Show on a sunny Thursday. Hang on, we got a lot more show coming up. We'll be back.
The Griff Show.
Welcome back to The Griff Show. Thanks to Bill Lumpkin for hanging out with us from Daytona. Update with Gatorade Jewels. Now let's get a quick update from our man, WAFF sportscaster, sports anchor, sports director, Scott Tyson, hanging out down in Hatchville. Scotty, how are you this afternoon?
We're doing fine. I tell you what, we are with now. 3 days into this basketball, but fans that we're going to call us, and so far we're doing pretty good.
Yeah. What's going on today, right now? Give us an update on who's done what.
Okay, well, here in Hansville, in the Northwest region, was up to Class 3A today. Lauderdale County started the girls. They're advancing. And then we had an exciting one just a few minutes ago. The Elkmont Red Devils fall behind by 16, kind of gather their composure, come back, take the lead in the fourth, force overtime. And then in the overtime, they handle their business. And so the Elkmont Red Devils come away with a big win. So yet another North Alabama team into our region finals, and that one will be on Saturday.
Wow. That's fantastic. So are the boys or girls, we got more representatives on one side or the other, or is it just balanced out kind of? Everybody's doing pretty good. I know some teams have lost.
I think we're pretty equal this year. You know, normally lots of times in the past, you know, our girls' teams tend to be a little bit stronger in the lower classes and, you know, and in the 6A's. We usually get a lot of them through. But this year, I think we're pretty much equal. Of course, we still have the Butler Rebels. They play here probably in about another hour and a half. Butler Rebels will take to the court. So we'll get another guys' team a chance to get into the region finals on Saturday. But right now, Priceville girls are on the court right now, and they're doing everything that we kind of expected them to do, up 36-22, about ready to go into half.
Tell us about Butler with all the guys they lost. Obviously, Jack Dawson's a terrific coach. How different are they compared to last year?
They are an entirely, entirely different team than what they were last year. You know, obviously, it's a no-brainer. Last year, when you have a talent of Trevor Lacy, everything goes through him. And that's something that, you know, even I could probably coach that one and do okay. This year, it all goes through Justin Pride, the point guard. Everything that Butler does, the offense, the defense, the pressure, the tone, the excitement, everything runs through Justin Pride. And Coach Dawson has done a great job this year of getting the offense built around Justin. And considering that Coach Dawson, you know, at the end of last year said he was not coming back, does not get the Butler job back until almost before the school year starts. So considering that aspect and you lose Trevor Lacy, I think he's done a very good job. But everything goes through Justin Pride this year.
That's fantastic. Who's advanced that's going to play tomorrow? Give us a little update on the ones that stand out to you that are interesting.
Well, tomorrow, obviously, we're going to start off with a bang in the morning. We have the Bob Jones girls, nationally ranked in the USA Today poll. Their first game here on Tuesday, they weren't too impressive at all. You know, kind of lackadaisical, kind of sluggish, kind of sloppy looking. We expect them to come out and play with a lot more intensity, a lot more focus. And then right after that one at 10:45, it's a game that a lot of people are talking about, you know, kind of already down here today, and that's the 6A boys. That'll have Austin and Hazel Green meeting up here. And if it's as good as both teams could play on Tuesday, this gym is going to be it's going to be an awesome, fun game to watch. Hazel Green, kind of that upstart team, a team that has a lot of underclassmen on it. They only lose two seniors, one really that sees a lot of extensive time. So they're a young team, but they're an exciting group of players to watch. And then Austin, every year it seems like Austin's down here again. So those are the, you know, the 6-day games that are going to be pretty big to watch come tomorrow. And then you got Lee Huntsville that'll take to the court. So we got a lot of great games tomorrow, but a lot of eyes on that 6-day boys game.
Oh, it's going to be terrific. And did you say you were there for the Elkmont Holly Pond or no?
Yeah, that one was a great one. I tell you what, Elkmont, you know, down by 16, really playing with not very much intensity, not very much emotion, and all of a sudden they went on a 9-0 run in the third quarter, kind of got their mojo back, and next thing you know, in the fourth quarter they take a lead, but they're down 5 with like 3 minutes left. They come back, they play great defense. They started on the defensive end. They come back. They force overtime. And in the overtime session, Elkmont just had so much momentum that they scored the first 5 points, never looked back from there. And so a huge win, a huge comeback win for Elkmont. Now they are into Saturday's region finals in Class 3A.
And they take on Carbon Hill. That'll be 2 o'clock at Wallace State. And 10-0 in that overtime. The Holly Pond girls, at least, advance over West Morgan, 50-47. And I know you're not covering this one, and you may not even know, but Arab got beat by Of course, the 2A champions right now, Centerpoint, beat them 44-31.
A-Rab is the type of team I've seen them play a couple times this year. They're very talented, but that Jacksonville State region, that one's tough to come out of. If you come out of that one, just like any other region, it's tough. But A-Rab, they're getting back to where they were, a few years ago. But A-Rab's playing well. Watch out for them, though, in the future.
Give us a thought real quick before we let you pump the coverage tonight. Grant Hill committing to Alabama. Your input on that and what you think of him as a football player.
As a football player, it's kind of like he's still developing. He's still developing. He's got a lot of upside to him. The thing is I just don't know how much he's really into football. He's a great track athlete. He has a lot of ability in track. I do know that, Nick Saban was up, a few weeks ago, and then they put a lot of pressure on him. And then when, Lance Thompson comes back from Tennessee, his first day back, he's in Huntsville visiting Grant Hill. So Alabama really has a lot of thoughts on him. They really thought high on him. He's got a lot of upside. It'll be interesting to see how he handles, this senior year and how he develops and how he progresses along the line in his senior year. Obviously, Alabama sees something in him that's pretty special.
It's going to be good. What about the coverage tonight? You'll have how many games and anything special going on?
Well, I tell you what, we're going to crown some region champions over the Northeast region. We've been going about 15 to 16 games at 10 o'clock.
Wow.
Just kind of giving everybody a wrap of everything that's going on in the day. So we're going to try to rally the troops again and do that again tonight. So we'll have some at 6, and then we'll have a lot on tonight at 10 as well.
All right. Good stuff. We appreciate it, Scotty. Safe travels back to the station.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Scott Tyson from Channel 48 WAFF. This tweet from Reggie Ragland. I hate going to the store with my mom. We got y'all covered here on the up. We got every possible. Did you like going to the store with your mother as a child?
I always had bad nightmares about going to Sears.
Why?
Mother as a kid.
Why?
Because I always got whooped there.
Oh, you gotten some
every time I saw a Sears commercial, I was afraid I was getting a whipping.
Really?
This is when I was like 6 or 7.
So this has scathed you in your entire life.
Well, it took me about 5 years to overcome.
25 years.
No. Well, not there yet. It would be about 23 years if it was still scarring me to this day.
That and several hours of therapy. Other than that, we got it handled.
Other than that, I'm all right.
Yeah. Tony Stewart wins the first qualifying race at Daytona. We're going to talk some recruiting coming up on the show, and we got a lot of stuff going on. It's interesting. The top punter prospect in the draft is Drew Butler, son of course, Kevin Butler, great Georgia kicker. Drew Butler, the top defensive guy there. Also, Ben Jones, center, at the Combine. He's, of course, from Childersburg, Alabama. Started at Georgia virtually as soon as he landed there. Just looking at some news and notes from the draft. Of course, Trent Richardson, we told you earlier, if you missed it, had a knee procedure. He will not run or do on-field drills in Indianapolis. I'm sure he'll work out, take the shirt off, flex, do all those things, but he will not do on-field drills there in Indianapolis. He will hold his own personal day where the scouts can come watch him is a better way to put it, March 27th. Now, Alabama's team camp and pro day, I should say, is March 7th. Auburn's is March 6th. Trent Richardson will do his around the 27th. So, got that going on as well. 866-485 9867-866-485-WUMP to get in on the show. Secure Law is a place you need to call for any of your legal needs at 513-8282. Secure Law, my friend Scott Rogers, absolutely fantastic over there in getting things done the right way. Secure Law is absolutely superb. And they've got 23 years experience in the Huntsville and North Alabama areas, practicing divorce, wills, personal injury, estates, adoption, collections, and much more. So protect your property and money when you're getting a divorce with expertise and a guy that's known on both sides of the law, so to speak, because Scott Rogers of Secure Law is also a city judge part-time in the city of Huntsville and does a great job there. So he has connections on that side of the bench, this side of the bench, and much more. And he's not one that's just going to run to court, run the bill for you. He's going to try to do the best he can. He'll negotiate for you, and they resolve as many as they try in court. That's a good thing. Secure Law, a very comprehensive but reasonable alternative to most law practices with many different areas of emphasis on practical law. Reasonable cost, real results. Secure Law, Scott Rogers, a guy I grew up with. I can vouch for him personally. 513-8282. That's 513-8282. Been in the area for 23 years. Give Secure Law if you have any legal needs whatsoever. 866-485-9867. 866-485-WUMP to get in on The Griff Show. 7 minutes until the top of the hour on The Griff Show. Good high school update there from Scott Tyson. A lot of teams moving on, a lot not. Bob Jones girls going in the morning. Of course, nationally ranked team going on there as well. Also, some national things going on. We got Lynn and the Heat coming up this weekend. It's big college basketball. Of course, Alabama and Arkansas tonight, 5:30 pregame here with Chris Stewart, Brian Passink, and 6 o'clock tip-off right here on the Ump. So we stand by for that. Must win, I think, for Bama. Well, maybe I shouldn't go that far, but it really helped. It's as close to must win as you can get. They got Ole Miss and Auburn left. Ole Miss, to me, is still a dangerous team. They're limping around, but they can still beat you. Auburn, you never know. But this is huge, and this is on the road without Jamichael Green.
Well, allow me to be a pessimistic about this, but I think every game at this point here on out is a must-win.
Yeah. Well, I think if they get this one, and I'm just looking ahead thinking the other two, they should likely win. So if they get these three, obviously they're 20-9. With a win streak going into the SEC tournament, and that looks a lot better. You lose it, you got double-figure losses, you're not at 20. It's just a mental thing. So I don't know. But big one here. They're still in the tournament as of now. But Arkansas is a very different team on their home floor, as we talked about. 17-2 on their home floor, one loss in SEC. That was to Florida, who's just playing lights out right now. That was last weekend. And they're just different. They're more suffocating. They get into their press. They get into their stuff more. And they're different on the road. And then Alabama beat them only by 6 with Jamichael Green and with Tony Mitchell having strong games. Well, Mitchell's out. Jamichael Green's not playing. But again, as we talked about for the last couple of days, I've got this sneaking suspicion that while they'll miss some defensive inside presence, they'll miss some rebounding, obviously. I think they'll obviously also gain ball handling against the press. So when Arkansas does score and they get in their stuff, Alabama may be better to handle their pressure than they would have if Green were playing. Now, that might be me just trying to look at the positive side for Alabama, but I really think that because they got more ball handlers in there. And of course, it's going to be interesting to see how Engstrom plays against the other big centers and post players for Arkansas because they are bigger, and he can play Musa and Engstrom in this game, I think. So it'll be interesting to see how they react.
Well, yeah, I think every game at this point is probably going to be interesting for Alabama because, let's face it, with the suspensions and everything, they've been like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde team. You just don't know.
They don't know, barely know who's showing up every day.
Exactly. And the one thing that's helping Alabama with this right now is their non-conference performance, because usually that's what they look at within the tournament. That's why you're seeing them at around a 10 seed right now, because with the unknowns at the time of, do we know Jamichael Green or Tony Mitchell are coming back for the season? We now have those answers. And the one thing about Alabama is credit to Trevor Lacy, Huntsville's own Trevor Lacy, who stepped up at the point guard in the time of Trevor Relaford. You have to give him credit for that. So Alabama can still get into the tournament at this point, but I think every game is going to be critical, and I think they have to pull off one win in the SEC tournament, and they might get that eighth or ninth seed.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. The last three are very big for them, though, as you said. I mean, but none bigger than tonight, for sure. 866-485-9867, 866-485-WUMP to get in on the Griff Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Join us 730UM.com, the live webcam streaming, as well as Twitter at the Griff Show, On the Marks Radio, and at 730UM. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Andrew Bone will talk a little recruiting with AB when we return. Stay with us.